pushing in. There'll be 2 minutes of stoppage time. Man in the box if he can get it across. And he has it off the line. Shot to the bar. And it's turned in. And surely this time, Theo Walcott has won it.
Manchester United have done all they can. That Rooney goal was enough for the 3 points. Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli. Aguero.
Let's call this year's header. And talk about an instant impact. Arsenal really are motoring now.
Lui, Francesco Totti, gran gol, Roma, strepitosa in questa via.
Fabregas, it's Nasri. Can he go all the way here? Still Nasri. Looks Rashani. Wonderful play from Arsenal. Arsene Wenger's philosophy put into practice, and not even Barcelona can come up with an answer.
And oh!
Seattle Sounders in Rave Green, Toronto FC in red from head to toe. Cut back there from Osorio, feeding it through. Jermaine Defoe, an opportunity for his first MLS goal. 16 and a half minutes into his debut.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Street Talks Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Tonight we're going to be talking about Champions League. First round of the Champions League started last week. First game in the knockout stages. There were some surprises, some struggles, and some very disappointing outcomes to the games last week. So we'll get into a little bit of that. And I had to take a couple of days off before I could come on and do a show. I took an extra day because I'm fuming with Arsenal. But we'll get into that in the second half of the episode. Don't want to turn it into an Arsenal bitch session, but I think it's going that way. As usual, you can reach us at the website, www.footballweekly.com. Football spelled F-U-T-B-O-L, weekly, spelled like weekly, .com. You can go to the contact us page and leave comments for show topics or anything that I've talked about. You can leave your comments there. You can subscribe to the podcast there as well. So let's get into it straight away. And I'll try to keep my emotions in check. But like I said, second half's probably going to be an Arsenal bitch session. Probably preview some of the EPL and other big games that are going on in the soccer world this upcoming weekend. But we'll start with Champions League. Like I said, Champions League started this past week, actually. I think I said last week in the intro. This past week, like I said, surprises, upsets, unexpected results, whatever you want to call it. I'm not going to go through all the games. I'm just going to go through some of the ones that were billed as big-time games. Actually, pretty good matchups this first round. I was pretty surprised to see some of the matchups come out when the schedule came out, but or when the groups were released. But yeah, so we'll get right into it. We'll hit the popular teams and we'll hit some of the good matches as well. Starting off, we're going to start off with Ajax and PSG. I don't know if any of you watch the highlights or watch the game. I couldn't watch the game, so I watched kind of the highlights of it. PSG should have beat Ajax by at least six. Should have been 6-0. Finished by 55th minute, 60th minute of the game. The game should have been done. But missing chances after chance after chance after chance, and with that, those attacking three of Lucas, Ibrahimovic, and Cavani was devastating to Ajax. They should have each had two or three each. But they squandered all their opportunities, they squandered their chances, and lo and behold, Ajax comes back, scores a free kick. It's 1-1. Ajax even hit the post. Late on in the game, they hit the post. So in actuality, PSG could have lost that game. And it's a running theme. All these big teams are spending big money, and you know, the little team comes at you and gives you all they have, and you struggle with them. Like I was talking to you last week about teams in the EPL, where every game's a battle, and you got teams like Stoke and Newcastle and bottom half teams. They're bottom half teams, but they're gonna come and give you everything they got. And the same thing goes in the Champions League. They have nothing to lose. They made it to the dance. They're happy to be there, and they're gonna give it all they got. They're not gonna sit back and absorb pressure, but you know, they're gonna take their chances as well. And that's what I'm not saying Ajax is a small team. They're not a small team, but they shouldn't be on the same level. They're not on the same level as a PSG. And like I said, that game should have been at least 6-7. Well before the 70th minute of that game. Cavani scored. He scored on an Ibra rebound. Like I said, that front three is devastating. With the speed of Lucas and the finishing of those two, wow, Ibrahimovic and Cavani, gonna be a force to reckon with, definitely. Next game I got is Barcelona versus Apoel. You would think this is, if you're a pro line guy, you would think this is gonna go into the plus range of the betting, but Barcelona only beat them 1-0, a goal by Pique. With all that firepower, Pique is the guy that scores. You have Neymar, you have Pedro, Iniesta, Xavi, Messi. Pique is the guy that scores. Didn't watch the whole game, watched extended highlights of that game as well. Barcelona playing their typical tiki-taka. No penetration, though. Things will change when Suarez gets involved, though, I believe. That through ball into him, with the runs that he makes, that through ball from Xavi or Iniesta, even coming off the wing with Neymar cutting it off the wing and Pedro on the other side, and Messi playing 1-2s with Suarez, That attack is going to be devastating. And when, like I said, when Suarez gets back into the mix, that team's going to be problems. And they better be problems, because Real Madrid looks real good. We'll talk about that. Actually, you know what? Let's talk about them now. Real Madrid played Basel. I'm not expecting an upset or anything like that for Basel to come into the Bernabeu and shock anybody. You know, if they're going to play defensive, they'll play defensive, whatever. And Real Madrid just have the majority of the ball and create chances. But I wasn't expecting what I saw. And I know you're going to say it's a billion-dollar team against a little team from Switzerland or wherever they're from. I think they're Switzerland. Yeah, they're Switzerland. So it's not what, you know what I mean? So it's not a... It wasn't just like a game you would expect Real Madrid to have problems with Basel. But the way they took care of them, sight to behold. Real Madrid was awesome. And I used to have a soccer coach back in the day that used to coach me, and he said, good teams bury bad teams. They don't let them hang around. They don't miss chances. They're not lackadaisical in the game. They're not trying to do flicks and tricks and all this stuff. They bury them. They bury them early. Then you can do your flicks and tricks and whatever and whatnot. And Real Madrid, that's the running theme of this podcast, is their attack is just too silky. Too silky. Goal of the week so far for me, and you guys need to go. I'll actually put it up on the website. You guys need to see this goal. This. I'm a type of football fan. Like I know there's foreign fans out there that like the flicks and the tricks and the step overs 100 times. And there's guys that like guys who score, like Alan Shearer, guys who score, Inzaghi, Van Nistelrooy, guys that score. And there's guys like me that like the ball, like that was played for the goal to happen. Luka Modric from Real Madrid played a ball with the outside of his right foot over the top of one of the defenders for Basel onto the foot of Gareth Bale. Who actually, personally, I think he mistouched the ball. It went straight up in the air and he caught it on the other side and put it in. I think he was trying to chip the goalie one time. But he popped it over the goalie's head and caught it on the other side. But that ball from the outside of your foot, dead on to the next player's foot from 20, 25 yards. Magic. That's the goal of the tournament for me. And it hurts me to say because they're two former Tottenham players. So it hurts me to say it. But that goal, that ball, I'll put it up on the website. It's crazy. It's crazy. Just the awareness of Modric to see that the run and then play that ball. The only ball he could play was the outside of his right foot. It's perfect. And the way that Real Madrid was moving the ball between Benzema, Ronaldo, Bale, Modric, Cruz, James Rodriguez, it was crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. I'll actually put up the whole extended highlights of that game so you can see exactly what was happening. And Basel scored a nice goal, actually. Final in that game was 5-1. But, I mean, it was Real put on a clinic. Devastating. Devastating. Next, you got Roma versus CSKA Moscow. And another game that hurts my heart. Because the man of the match of that game, for me, was Gervinho, former Arsenal player. Ever since he went to Italy, ever since he went to Roma, totally different player. I don't know if that's the coach that was here. I don't know if it's the style of play in England. I don't know if he wasn't comfortable here. I don't know what it was. But ever since he left to go to Italy, different player. The chances that he would miss in England, he's putting away in Italy. And he's actually making things happen. When he used to play for Arsenal, he used to get the ball on the wing. You know what he's going to do. He's gonna fake inside. And he's going to cut outside. And he's going to push the ball around you and try to beat you with his speed. Every time. And then that shows me that's a player that has no confidence in his skill set. But in this game, I saw him do some things that I've never seen him do. He'd come down the wing, he'd fake a shot, he'd cut it with his back foot, like a la Cristiano Ronaldo, and cut in, and then fake the pass, and then toe poke it into. It's just he scored two goals, two great goals, and set up a goal. So, totally different player in Italy. And like I said, I don't know if it's the style of play that was here, or if he had no confidence, what the manager was telling him, I don't know. But I think that's the player we tried to buy. But what happened when he was here, I'm not privy to, so I can't tell you. But like I said, he looks a total different player in Italy. And they just routed all over. They ran riot on CSKA Moscow. So 5-1 was the final score there. Bayern Munich Man City, that was probably the game of the week. I didn't get to see it. I was stuck at work. But Bayern wins that on a Jerome Boateng header. I believe it was a header. 1-0. So, not really much to say about that game. Actually, Man City plays Chelsea this week, so that should be good to see how they react from the loss and if they can bounce back in the league. I don't even know if they arrested any of the players, but that game on Sunday should be quite the match. Monaco beat Bayern Leverkusen 1-0. And I love to see things like this. When your top scorer leaves your team and you still go out and you perform, like when Diego Costa left Atletico Madrid still winning games, and Radamel Falcao left Monaco, and Monaco's winning in the Champions League against a pretty good side in Leverkusen. Top three, top four, top five in Germany every year. So in a tough German league, actually, every year. So they're not a pushover team. So I like to see teams that don't sulk and we lost our best player. What are we going to do? You find someone else and you move on. And I like that. I'm leaving Liverpool and Ludogorets for the end. Well, actually, I'm leaving Arsenal and Dortmund for the end. But for those of you that know me, can't stand Liverpool. Not quite on the same level as hate as Tottenham. But the Tottenham hate, you're supposed to hate them. Being an Arsenal fan, you can't like them. You can't like anybody from there. You're supposed to hate them. It's like Montreal Canadiens and Toronto Maple Leafs. You can't like anybody. If you're a Leafs fan, you can't like anybody on the Canadiens. If you're a Canadiens fan, you can't like anyone on the Leafs. It's just how it is. But Liverpool, just don't like them. I always make a joke to I have a couple of Liverpool fans that I work with, and I always make a joke. I'm just telling every week it's another tragedy. Every week it's another tragedy that we have to mark at Anfield. We have to wear the players have to wear black armbands because someone's cat died 10 years ago on this day. Moment of silence, flowers, this, that, and third. Don't get me wrong, I'm not making light of the Hillsborough tragedy. No, I'm not doing that. That's a tragedy. You want to celebrate that, go ahead. But it's too much, man. I tell them, I joke with them, if it's that much bad luck, just burn the whole Anfield down and start from scratch. You know what I mean? Like, if there's so much bad luck there, just start from scratch somewhere else. I don't want to hear anything else about Anfield. I don't know if it's my hate for Steven Gerrard or Jordan Henderson or I don't know. I definitely despise Brendan Rodgers, but I don't know. And I just don't like them. I see their jersey and it's disgusting to me. Just don't like them. But anyways, we'll leave that game second to the end because once again, Liverpool squeaks through by the skin of their teeth. I don't know how, but. Well, I do know how, but we'll get into that. Juventus played Malmo, a team from Sweden. Carlos Tevez with two goals. Juve beats them 2-0. Chelsea versus Schalke, 1-1 tie. Former Gunner captain, actually. Cesc Fabregas scores the first goal in like the first 11 minutes, I think. 11 minutes, something like that. He actually fouled the guy. He actually fouled the Schalke player, took the next corresponding play. They actually scored on his foul. So he fouled the guy and took the ball from him, and they scored a goal. So, but the soccer gods were watching and decided to even out the score because he was actually the guy that lost the ball when Schalke scored. Kind of the same position, actually, of the field where Schalke scored. And Julian Draxler, an Arsenal target last transfer window, picked up the ball and pretty much ran about 60 yards with the ball. No one could catch him. This kid's fast. I've never really seen him play, but he looks like a player. He looks like a real player. He's quick with the ball. He makes good decisions, and he has quick feet for a kind of lanky, tall, not lanky, I shouldn't say lanky, but a kind of tallish player. He has good feet, good skill, good speed too. He blew by about three guys on Chelsea, and laid off the ball to Huntelaar, and Huntelaar as he always does, deposits in the back of the net. But also, same thing as in the PSG game, Chelsea had a lot of chances to put the game away, and they squandered them, and that's what happens. If you don't put your chances away, other team will get a break. It's the Champions League. They're good enough to be in the Champions League, so they're going to get a break, and they're going to score, and here we are, 1-1. So moving on, I mean, we only got, there's more games, but I only want to talk about the next two. So Liverpool and Ludogorets play. And from those of you that listened to one of the earlier podcasts, heard my story about Ludogorets, who had the player actually have to go in net for penalty shots. And I think he saved two penalty shots in the end, and the team went through to the Champions League. So their goalie got a red card, and one of the players had to go in, and like I said, he saved two penalty shots in the penalty shootout, and they went through to the Champions League. This game, I watched the first half. It was one of those games that they replayed at like midnight. I tried to stay up and watch the whole thing. I knew the score already, but I tried to stay up and watch the whole thing. It was not going to happen, so I watched the first half. And Ludogorets was putting Liverpool under pressure. Liverpool couldn't make four passes together. And Ludogorets was just taking their chances, you know. They were making their little passes, trying to get behind the defense. Sako back there, or Sissoko, I can't remember which one it was, played really well. But it just, you're on the road, you're in Anfield, of course, and you're just hanging on. You're just hanging in. I shouldn't say hanging in, and waiting for your break. But you're still playing football. You're still moving the ball around. You're still making runs. It's always the last pass that kind of gets away from them. But if they had a playmaker like a Modric laying balls off, I would usually say Ozil, but we'll get into that later. If you had a playmaker like that slipping balls into the forwards, it would have been a different outcome. But up until 8 minutes left in the game, I believe, before Mario Balotelli scored his first goal for Liverpool, and it looked like done deal. Ludogorets comes back and scores again. Well, Ludogorets comes back and scores. And now it's 1-1. Anfield silent. What's happening here? Who is this team from Romania that's tying us at our home field? In front of the car? At Anfield? Whatever, right? And then the impossible. Well, the improbable. Well, at Anfield, the usual. We'll say. If you want, you can go see the highlights as well. I've watched this play at least 10 or 15 times, and I still can't see the contact. I'm the type of guy that'll say, oh yeah, if he touches him, he called that. Well, I guess it's a penalty, but you don't really call that in almost extra time. You don't call that. But if you go and watch this replay, I can't see anywhere where the goalie touched this guy. Just to do a little play-by-play commentary. I don't know who played the ball into. I don't even know who the player was. I think it was Barini. Barini took the ball. Goalie was actually... Ludogorets' player passed it back to the goalie. Goalie took a bad touch. And the goalie actually is from Canada. He's the Canadian national team goalie. Forget his name, Bojan or something like that. He took a bad touch away from the net, so no problem. If push comes to shove, just kick it out for a throw and kick it out for a corner. At least the ball's not in your net. No problem. I don't know what he tried to do. He kicked the ball a little bit too far away from him, so he slid a little bit with his legs. And Barini touched the ball past the goalie, but kicked it about 10 yards ahead of him, which resulted in the ball going out of bounds, and then just fell. The referee pointed to the penalty spot. It's unbelievable if you watch this replay. My explanation is not doing it justice, but I'm telling you, terrible call. Terrible. It's an Alex Ferguson call in the 19th minute of extra time. in the 19th minute of stoppage time, Alex Ferguson gets a penalty shot. It's that type of call. And you know what? I'll actually edit the video and put that up on the website too. If you can see contact, leave a comment for me and show me where and when and at what time point you saw him even touch this guy for him to go down. And the savior, Steven Gerrard, come and slot a goal, slot in the penalty shot and win the game, the hero. Steven Gerrard is so shit. It is unbelievable. I watched him play. He plays the same position I play, so I watch. And he's so shit. It is unbelievable. Oh my god. Anyways, that's my Liverpool rant. But I'll put the Real Madrid extended highlights, and I'm doing air quotes penalty claim from the Liverpool game up on that, and you guys can tell me if I'm crazy or you see something I don't. But let me turn off the music for this now, please. So Arsenal plays Borussia Dortmund in Germany. First game of the Champions League. Let me hold off, actually. There's so many issues. So many issues wrong with this team. Well, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say so many issues wrong with the team. There's so many head-scratching decisions. That's a better term, I think. Head-scratching decisions. Made by the higher-ups. And when I say higher-ups, I mean Arsene Wenger. Every year. And this is going to go beyond the Champions League game. Because it's just one game. Yeah, but you have another, six, seven to go. So, whatever. It's going to go beyond that. For years now. Years. I've been an Arsene Wenger supporter. People putting up signs, Wenger out, this, that, hashtag Wenger out on Twitter and this, that. And it's like, calm down. He can only do what he's allowed to do. If the board says no, he can't do anything. If the board says wait till the stadium's finished being paid off, you can't buy any players. He can't buy any players. What's he supposed to do? He makes do with what he has. If he's not allowed to do or buy certain players or do certain things, or he doesn't feel that he has the players that to play a certain system, he's got to make do with what he has. So I was a, we'll say, moderate Wenger supporter. Okay? All right. For years now. When I say years, it's not 5, 6, 7 years. Okay? We've had problems in certain positions on the field. Since Thierry Henry left, since Thierry Henry left, we haven't had a real out-and-out, go get him. This guy is quality. And other teams looking at this guy like he's danger since Thierry Henry. And I know some of you are out there saying, oh, Robin Van Persie. Okay, Robin Van Persie. Robin Van Persie had maybe 2 good seasons in Arsenal. And they were the last 2 he played at Arsenal before he jet to Manchester United. I don't know any team that looks at Arsenal's lineup and says, oh, shit, we got to play him. Or we got to play this guy. Or we got to play that guy. I look at Chelsea's lineup and go, oh, shit, we got to play Diego Costa. Can we stop him? Not sure. Look at Man City. Oh, my God. We got to play Aguero. And Yaya Toure. And Silva. Oh, my God. And company back there. Are we going to be able to beat them? I don't know. And you look at Liverpool and you say, oh, my God. We got to play the referees, too? I don't know if we can beat them. But that's a joke, but whatever. But there's no in the top four teams in the league. When you look at the top four teams in the league, there's always that one or two players that you look at and it's like, oh, we got to contain him. When Fernando Torres played for Liverpool, it was just like, oh, this guy again. I don't think there's anybody in Arsenal that's at that rate yet. So we have major problems in the defensive side of the ball. You have Thomas Vermaelen, Lauren Koscielny, Per Mertesacker as your center backs. Three rotating center backs, no problem. For some reason, you refuse to play Vermaelen. He's the captain of the team. For some reason, you refuse to play him. You can play him at left back. You can play him in defensive midfield. You can play him at center back. Keep him. Versatile defenseman. He was player of the year 2 years ago for the squad. You made him captain. You don't play him. Okay, maybe there's something behind the scenes I don't know about, and that's the reason why you don't play him. Fine. You want to sell him? Okay, I really didn't want you to. What does it matter what I think? But as a fan, I didn't want him to sell him. Thomas Vermaelen was my captain. He was the guy. He'd run through a wall for this team. But you want to sell him? Okay. If you sell him, got to replace him. Arsene Wenger, wringing his hands, hemming and hawing. This guy. And every day you just see this guy got signed, this guy signed, this guy signed, this guy signed. And then you hear, oh, we're in for this Greek guy. Greek player. Center back. I forget his name now. Greek guy. Amazing. World Cup center back for the Greek national team. Fill in for Vermaelen. Right like that. Okay. Hemming and hawing. Waiting for this. Waiting for that. Roma snaps him up. Boom. Gone. Okay. So now what? Now we have Per Mertesacker and Lauren Koscielny as our two center backs. That's it. With the league games, Champions League games, FA Cup, and Carling Cup, or Capital One Cup as it's called now, plus all your national team games that you're going to have to play because Euros are coming up soon, you're looking at 65, 70 games. If you think these two guys aren't going to get tired or at least hurt, you're in dreamland. Have to bring in another player to play center back. And then some of you Arsenal fans will sit there and say, hey, but we bought Callum Chambers. And I'll retort with, we bought Callum Chambers to be the backup right back for Debuchy. We didn't buy him to play center back. But you can play him there. Don't worry, you can play him there. You can play him there. Okay, no problem. We can play him there. But if the worst happens, and say, for instance, if Debuchy gets hurt for a long period of time, like I know it's crazy to think that, but just say that happens. What do you do? I guess you put Callum Chambers on a right back. Okay, solid. And another thing, what if Callum Chambers gets tonsillitis, can't play. What do you do then? That's never going to happen. Both those guys won't be out at the same time. Come on, it's like saying, yeah, now this guy's hurt, and Drew's hurt, and this guy's hurt, and that guy's hurt. And it's never going to happen. All those guys aren't going to get hurt at the same time. No way. Okay. Well, should play the lotto. Because Debuchy's done for about, what, he said he might need ankle surgery. He's going to be done for about 3 or 4 months. Drew's hurt for 3 or 4 months. And Callum Chambers has tonsillitis. So it's like, okay, and we have a Champions League game on Tuesday, so what do we do? Well, we got this 19-year-old kid who played in our academy last season, and we brought him and played him in the Emirates Cup, and he's been training with us. So we'll slot him in the Champions League in Dortmund, his first really senior game of any significance. We'll put him in a Champions League game on the right side. This is what kills me about this squad. For me, last transfer deadline window, they had to bring in a center back, and they had to bring in two right backs. Because you loaned out the backup right back, and you sold the first choice right back. You have to bring in two. They brought in one. Because I personally think that they brought in, that Arsene Wenger brought in Callum Chambers to play in the middle with Per Mertesacker and Koscielny. I don't think they wanted him to play right back. So now both the right backs, quote unquote right backs, are hurt. And you put a 19-year-old kid in his first game in Dortmund in the Champions League. Baptism by fire? Maybe he'll show and prove. I have no problems with how he played. I mean, there's no experience. What do you want from him? And to top it off, they put Ozil in front of him. So you have a guy who's never played a Champions League game in his life, and then you put a guy who won't mark, tackle, or track back in front of him. That's not asking for trouble? Of course it is. It's crazy. I was talking to someone today, actually, about Mesut Ozil today. And I told him, there's a couple of players. There's two sets of players. There's more than two sets, but there's two sets of players in this conversation. There's players like Ronaldo, Messi, Ibrahimovic, that go out and make their teams better. They can go out and do whatever they want individually and make their teams better. And there's other players that need those players around them to make them look good. And that's what Ozil is. You slot in Ozil on the German national team, where he's surrounded by Müller, Schweinsteiger, Lahm, Boateng, the guy in the middle there, well, I forget his name, Cruz, Kadira. You put him around those guys, yeah, that guy looks like a superstar. And he really didn't even do much in the World Cup, but he looks like a superstar. Slot him into Real Madrid, put him around Cristiano Ronaldo, put him around his buddy Kadira again, Benzema, put him around Bale. Well, actually, he was gone by the time Bale got there. But the Galacticals team from a couple of years ago, and he looks like a superstar in the slow-ass Spanish league. Now he's in a league where he actually has to track back, tackle, and actually work hard. And I don't think he's ready for it. I honestly don't think he's ready for it. And I think and you heard it here first on the Football Weekly, I think he's gone next year. I don't think he's coming back next season. Because if this continues, if this continues, he's going to find himself on the bench anyway. Can't play. Can't play at this level like that. Can't. He's from Germany. You go back to Germany. You're playing on German soil. You want to put on a show in front of your German fans who watched you and cheered for you during the World Cup. And you go out and play like that? You go out and do that? I back players. And I know it takes a little bit of time to get adjusted to EPL. It takes a little bit of time to get adjusted to a new team. But it doesn't even look like he's trying. He just looks overwhelmed and not interested when he's playing on the field. Now, part of that might be because he's playing at a position, but he's playing the same position as he plays on the national team. The only difference is he's not surrounded by the players that I mentioned earlier. Arsenal has world-class players, but not to the caliber of the German national team. So if that's what's making him look good, then we got a problem. Now, another thing about Wenger, he always wants to take a player and put him in a different position, make him into a star. Brought in Thierry Henry a long time ago. He was a winger, made him a central striker, and the rest is history. So now he thinks he's a transformer. He can transform everybody. But you can't play Ozil on the wing for the simple fact that you gotta track back and mark and tackle. It's not his game. You want to put him in the middle of the field where he can see things and pick up the ball and has the vision to slot balls left and right? Do that. Can't play him on the wing. Can't play him on the wing. If you have to move Ramsey to the wing, move Ramsey to the wing. This guy's a $42 million buy. It's not happening. And of course, Wenger's coming out in the newspaper saying, yeah, don't worry, he's okay. Of course he has to defend him. Because he's playing him in the wrong fucking position. And he's too stubborn to say, you know what, I might be wrong, maybe I should put him in the middle. He'll never do that because everyone's telling him to. Even though it's the right thing to do. There's a stat in the Dortmund game, the Champions League game with Arsenal. Arsenal didn't make a tackle in Dortmund's half, the whole game. And the reason why I'm not harping on the game so much is because I didn't watch it. I actually forgot to set the PVR. Came home at lunchtime, sped home at lunchtime. To set the PVR to watch to record it so I can watch it when I got home. I was in the car coming home after work and I was just like, you know what? I need to know the score. Looked 2-0, Dortmund. So I said, I'm not gonna watch the game. So I go online and I start reading, and it's just like everyone played awful. It was disgusting. Koscielny was lost. Ozil was just terrible. The word they used was terrible. And Welbeck missed some chances. So I said, you know what? I'm a big proponent of the extended highlights. Let's see the extended highlights of this. And halfway through, I had to turn it off. Disgusting. Disgusting. Jerseys were nice. Jerseys were beautiful. The play, disgusting. You read the newspaper articles and the headlines are outclassed, overrun, humiliated. And I'm doing my best not to talk about our captain Arteta, doing my best to not talk about him. He's about 2 years past his prime. Let me rephrase that. He's 2 years past his sell-by date. That's better. He should have been in the MLS 2 years ago. But he's the captain of your team. Slow as molasses, can't tackle, doesn't read the game like he should, and again, playing out of position. He's an attacking midfielder, and you're trying to make him into a holding midfielder. I don't know why Arsene Wenger thinks he can change players. You need a defensive midfielder? You go buy a defensive midfielder. You need a wing midfielder? You go buy a wing midfielder. Don't buy a central defender and put him at left back. Don't buy a striker and put him in the net. Common sense. Common bloody sense. And for God's sakes, get rid of this zonal marking. Give a player a man, stick to your man, and don't let him score. I was talking to someone about basketball, actually. I play basketball Monday nights. I was talking to someone about basketball, and he wanted to play a zone. And we all looked at him and was like, zone is a lazy man's defense. You play zone so you can pass the buck. Stick to your man and don't let him score. Forget zone. And that's what this zonal marking is in soccer and football, whatever you want to call it. As soon as a guy runs through my zone and he's out of my zone, I'm not marking him anymore. It's not my guy anymore. He's out of my zone. No. You can't play professional anything like that. Who, even at the level that what we play soccer at now, who do you have? I got number 12. Who do you have? I got number 6. Okay, stick to him. And you go up and you mark him. Zonal marking is gonna be the downfall of this team. Every time the ball goes out for a corner kick or a free kick gets taken anywhere near the 18-yard box, it's panic stations and it's like, oh shit, here we go. What's gonna happen now? And the smallest guy on the field is gonna get a header, a free header. Because he's in between zones. He's in between two player zones, so nobody knows if they should take him or not. And he's gonna get a free header. And you're going to tie a team like Leicester because of that shit. I don't know. We're three games into the EPL season, and we still need a center back, and we still need a right back. We've got 43 midfielders, no problem. We don't even have, we have to play 5 midfielders because we got so many. You can't have all those midfielders sitting on the bench. I think we have 11 midfielders. We got 2 goalies, 2 center backs, we got 2 left backs, no right backs, 11 midfielders, and we had 1 striker. Until Giroud got hurt and we had to go out and buy Welbeck. And I'm not counting Sanogo. Sanogo needs to go out on loan somewhere and get his head straight. Because if you're depending on him to get you goals, well, I mean, don't waste my time. And I got people saying, yeah, Sonogo's going to be good when he gets older. Okay, fine. I'm talking about right now. If we're playing Chelsea and I need a goal, I'm not even looking at Sonogo to go in and do anything. Very raw, very clumsy. Not saying he can't be good, but for right now, what we need? No. No. And many people say, Welbeck will come through for you. Don't worry. Yeah, we'll see. But as this team is structured right now, and Santi Cazorla can't get a game, it's fucking ridiculous. Absolute, excuse my French. It's ridiculous. Santi Cazorla and Thomas Rosicky can't get a game. And we insist on playing Ozil on right half. And we insist on bringing Oxlade-Chamberlain in with 10 minutes to go in the game. And we insist on not playing Podolski, who is an out-and-out striker. And we insist on only having 2 center backs and hope and pray to God every day that they don't get hurt in training or hurt in a game or hurt in their personal life. And we have Kieran Gibbs and Nacho Monreal on the left-hand side, and they're both garbage. I mean, I don't know if you can hear the frustration in my voice, but it's been the same thing for years. And you can go back and ask any Arsenal fan what the needs for this team were for the last 3 or 4 years. And they'll all tell you the same. And it's in 2014, it's the same problem. We still need those players. And Arsene Wenger always makes up the excuse, oh, well, we're looking for world-class people. You know, we can go out and get a center back any day of the week, but we want world-class here. Really? You do? Really? You want world-class center backs? There's world-class center backs left, right, and center out there. Go get some. Waiting for their contracts to run out so you can get them for free? With the highest ticket prices in the league? You're still waiting for free stuff? with this $100 million transfer kitty that you had. You only spent 30 of it. Well, actually, they spent more than that. I think they spent 60 of it. Can't find a center back? Can't find a right back? Can't find a striker? It's just too frustrating to talk about. I'm not, like I said, I'm not even talking about the Dortmund game. It's one game, six left. Or sorry, teams are in this thing. Five games left. So it's like I said, I don't know. I didn't want it to be a bitch session, but I guess it did turn into one. And like I said earlier in previous podcasts, I don't want to talk about Arsenal all the time because it's not an Arsenal podcast. But I mean, I just had to get this off my chest. I wanted to have another Arsenal fan on with me to go back and forth, but things didn't work out. We'll probably have him on in a couple of weeks, and we'll see where we are. We play Aston Villa. Arsenal plays Aston Villa this week. So that's another tough worker type team that if you're not careful, you will lose to. Ask Liverpool. And talking about that game, Aston Villa versus Liverpool, I made a comment to somebody that's the type of game that Brendan Rodgers needs Suarez in. If Suarez is in that game, they win that game. Because he's going to pull two goals out of his ass from something. He's going to make two goals out of nothing. And they win that game 2-1. And it's Suarez saves Liverpool again. And Brendan Rodgers looks like a genius because he has Suarez. Now you're going to see Brendan Rodgers for what he really is. For what he really is. And when they finished in ninth place, what happened to the team that was winning the league in the last couple of months of the season? They were going to win the league last year and blah, 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 blah. And now this year they're going to finish ninth. Prediction. Mark it down. Anyway, as usual, you can pick up the podcast at footballweekly.com. Football spelled F-U-T-B-O-L. Weekly.com. Subscribe. Leave comments. Whatever. I mean, thanks for listening to episode 4. Catch you next week.